This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Listen, if you will, to the reading of Proverbs chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Should thy springs be dispersed abroad in streams of water in the streets? Let them be for thyself alone, and not for strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. As a loving hind and a pleasant doe, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. For why shouldst thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? God intends for us to be faithful in marriage. When we marry, we commit to each other the keeping of our bodies, of ourselves, each to the other, so long as we both shall live. At the same time, this passage makes clear that God intends for marriage to be a source of great joy, a source of great pleasure. Since sex is a gift from God to married people, it must not be viewed as something of which we ought to be ashamed, some sort of evil desire for which marriage provides a way to get rid of in secret. Since it is a gift from God, it is nothing to be ashamed of. Of course, this does not mean that we should adopt the practices of the world in this matter and talk about sex from the housetops, from every billboard on the highways, from every newspaper and every radio program. It does not, and emphatically does not, mean that we should ever talk about it in a lewd or sordid way. But Christian mothers ought to teach their daughters to show warm affection, to show love to their husbands. And Christian fathers ought to teach their sons to love and cherish their wives. Teach them, that is, the added language, or what might be termed the extra language, which God gave to married people. Teach them that only married people can speak it. Teach them that God is highly displeased when anyone else attempts to speak this language. Note that I said attempts to speak this language, for only those who are married to each other, who truly love one another and God, can speak this language with its full meaning and expression. This is clearly taught in the Word of God. Not explicitly, but implicitly. But it is taught nevertheless. Why did Jesus, as recorded in John chapter 8, tell the woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery to go her way and sin no more? Simply because she was trying to speak this language, which is reserved for husbands and wives outside of the marriage relationship. The sexual relationship provides a medium by which husbands and wives who truly love one another and who understand that the Lord expects each to help the other and their children to walk with God, to give fullest expression to that commitment which each has made to the other to share his life completely with the other. It is a medium much more expressive than merely saying with our lips and tongue, "I love you," although this is good and ought to be done, and even more expressive than a kiss alone. Children, as they grow up in a home, ought to see that their mother and father truly love God, that they truly love each other, and that they love the children themselves. Children need to grow up in an atmosphere of love. It's God's will that they do. And the sexual relationship can help husbands and wives to love one another, to provide for their children the kind of atmosphere which God wants them to have. I've heard people make the suggestion that the more spiritual a person is, the more spiritual love is between husband and wife, the less they will require or desire by way of physical expression. But I do not believe a word of that. The Bible does not teach it. That idea has its source in the mind of men and not in the mind of God. It did not come from the Word of God. I think I know what causes people to say such things. It's because they think the body itself, the very flesh, is evil. They must think this. I do not see how otherwise they could gain the idea. They must think that the desire which husband and wives have for one another sexually is basically evil and should be gotten rid of as soon as possible. The truth of the matter is, the more spiritual a husband and wife are, the better will be the physical side of their married life, and the better the physical side of their married life, the better the spiritual side of their lives should be. Not that either will necessarily make the other perfect. That isn't what I'm saying. What I am saying is this: spiritual growth on the part of the husband and wife help them in their sex life, and happiness in their sex life will help them to grow spiritually. Study in this connection 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Be with us again tomorrow as we continue this very important subject, marriages for those who love God and one another.